Good evening, dear folks. It's nice to be with you again. We're going to read in the Word of God in the first epistle to Peter, from Peter, or of Peter, but first Peter. Peter is writing these words to Christians. Christians who had mainly a Jewish background, Christians he had never seen. And he was writing to give them some encouragement in their Christian faith, because they were being persecuted because of their faith in Christ. And that's one thing we need to accept, that if we accept faith in Christ, we will be persecuted. But there is strength in Christ for going on with him. We're reading in chapter 1, and we're commencing at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now let's just go down a little to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth thereof and falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God will bless the reading of his word. I'm wanting to speak tonight for a little on things that are incorruptible. Incorruptible. We live in a world around us today when we see corruption all around us, and there's a lot of corruption and decay, and these things are there. But tonight we are going to talk about and see things that are incorruptible. And he speaks about three things in these verses that we have read as he's writing to these people and telling them that they have things that will never corrupt. They're incorruptible. Firstly, notice in verse 4, the first chapter there in verse 4, he says, to an inheritance that is incorruptible. We'll look at that and see what is involved there. Then in verse 18, he speaks about, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. So he's going to talk to us about a redemption that is incorruptible. A redemption that's incorruptible. In verse 23, born again, he says, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God. So that we've been born again with incorruptible seed. And we're going to look at these things as we go through there. I want to take them in the reverse order that we read them. And we're going to look, firstly, at the last one there. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Well, we know that we're born in the first time, every one of us here. There was a time when we came into existence. We were born. And there was our mother and our father together. And from there, seed was produced that was allowing us to come and blossom forth from that. But we remember that that is corruptible seed. We're not here forever. That seed is going to, as it's blossomed, there is a day when we are going to decay. We look around us in nature these days and we see this great fact around us there. We look at the trees, we see them, the colours are beautiful, but there is a decay there. There is corruption, a cycle of corruption. The trees, the leaves will not last forever. They will change. And dear friend, what we need to remember too is this, that we will not last here forever. These bodies that we have are decaying. From that moment that sin entered into the world, in Eden's garden, where man and a woman there disobeyed the voice of God and did what God said to them not to do and disobeyed. And the Bible says by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world and death by sin. No sin, no death up to that moment. I don't know how long, how many years it was before it took place. But up to that moment, there was no death. But now, here comes a principle in here. And it's simple this, because man disobeyed God. And because of that, sin entered into the world and death came into the world. And so, we are not here on this earth forever. That principle is still there and it's still there with us in the world, all over the world. And men and women die. The cortege passes by regularly, going to the cemetery or the crematorium, and there it is that people are put to rest. And it's there because of man's sin. But here he's speaking here of something else there. He's speaking of being born again. Born again. And this being born again is not of corruptible seed, not of seed that will perish, but this word of God, this incorruptible word of God. This that the Bible says, the words of man will pass away, but the words of God will never pass away. This word of God is forever. It is the incorruptible word of God which abideth forever. And here is the principle that he's now giving to us. To men and women who are sinners in the sight of God, who one day will die in this world, it's there, he is offering to men and women a life that will live forever. And there will be no corruption in it. It will go on forever in God's presence. And that's a wonderful thing to have, and a wonderful conscious knowledge to have when we think of the future ahead of us. We may be young, we may not pay much attention as to what's happening in the immediate future, but as you get older, and days are lengthening, years are lengthening, it's there, there comes that point where we must think, I'm not here forever. I'm not here forever. And where am I going? Where am I going when I pass from this scene there? Well, Peter is emphasizing to these dear folks there that there is life forever. There is life forever after this. And here he is saying that to be ready for that, we need to be born again. Born again. Now, there was a man in the time of the Lord Jesus called Nicodemus. He had a problem with this. He was an educated man, a religious man, and the Lord Jesus said to him one day, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And of course he staggered at that. Can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born? He said, have I to go through that process once more? No, the Lord Jesus said, it's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth, a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And here we're entering into the realm of the Spirit of God. And God is looking down upon us and he's speaking to us, and men and women all over the world, and he's speaking about being born again. Not of corruptible seed, not of the normal seed, this seed of a man, but of the Word of God. And this Word of God is a Word that is spoken to us. It's a Word that liveth and abideth forever. It's a Word that will never fail. It will never change. And it is the Word of God that is spoken to us today. All flesh is as grass. Our bodies are going to pass away. Just like the grass that comes up, smown and goes down, and that's it, it's away. They put it into the fire or whatever we do with it, says the scripture there, but it disappears, it's away, it's away. Our bodies will do that as one day death will take place and we will be separated, and the body will be separated from the spirit and the soul of man. But that soul of ours, which is eternal, it's there. What's happening with that? Well, says Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us upon the cross so that we might be born again. Born from above. Not born of natural seed, but born by the Spirit of God. As the Word of God comes to put upon us, the Word of God comes with its life-giving effect, because the Word of God is life-giving. It's eternal. It's abiding forever. And that Word comes to us. And as we preach it, we learn this fact, that God is telling us in his Word that we are separated from him because of sin. And that sin will separate us from him for all eternity. But the great news that he has is this, that he sent his Son into the world. Christ came into the world to die for our sins, to take account of that and to deal with that question of sin. And he was made accountable for our sin when upon that cross at Calvary, he died for us. And God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. And our sins were laid upon him. And he bore the price of that. And he's made the sacrifice for us, taking the load of sin, made it his. But what is our responsibility? Am I saying to you that we're all saved then and we're all ready from heaven? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the way has been made open, the price has been paid, the sacrifice has been given. But we have to accept it. We have to accept it as our own. That means, firstly, I've got to accept that I am a sinner. I am a sinner. That's the first thing. And as soon as I begin to accept I am a sinner, and then I need to think and say, what can I do to get rid of my sin? And well, the scripture would make it absolutely clear for us, there is nothing that we can do in ourselves to forgive our sin. There's no man can do it. No man can save his brother. No man can give to God a ransom for his soul. No one can do it for himself. But here is the great truth of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came in to die for us upon the cross, to make atonement for our sin, to pay the price for our sin. And he's done that upon the cross. And when he cried that glorious cry, "It is finished," he cried. After those 3 hours in darkness, crying, the work was done. And the eternal work with God was procured that day, and Christ died for our sin. So the sacrifice has been paid, the price has been paid, the offer is made to men and women now. Accept, first of all, that you are a sinner. Believe that God sent his Son to die for our sins. And he went to the cross on Calvary to give himself as a ransom to God for us. And he paid the price. And we can go free tonight by acknowledging that in God's presence. This is it, that whosoever shall confess with their mouth, the glory of God, the salvation of God, that Christ has died upon the cross, confess that they are a sinner, confess that before God, and accept the pardon that God has made in his blessed Son, in the death of his Son, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. And the moment you do that, placing your faith in him, believing he died for you, the Bible says you will be saved. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the conditions that God gives to us are quite straightforward and quite plain. God has made these conditions and they're there for us. The price has been paid. The Lord Jesus Christ has died for us upon that cross. And so the Word of God brings it to us. It will never change. And it's the only way whereby we can come to God. He's given himself upon the cross. And through the Word of God that abideth and lasteth forever, believing that Word, taking that Word, which will never change, which will never be altered, we can accept it. You know the words of men alter? We're living in these days, you just need to think of, even in the last week in our newspapers and our televisions, and you see how many times men change their story, and women change their story. Men cannot be trusted with their words. But you know, the Word of God will never change. It's eternal. It's lasting. And it's there for you and I. And we can place our confidence in that tonight. Place our confidence in what God has said. And if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. The Word of God is there. And so, we've got being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God. It will never fail and never decay or destroy. It's there. But then Peter has spoken there, and he's speaking about being set free. For as such as we know, we are not redeemed with corruptible seed such as silver and gold from our vain manner of life received from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now we might say, wait a minute. Silver and gold, that never perishes. It's there forever. Think of blood. Think of even just, as you think of it, the blood banks in the hospital tonight. The blood's all taken off. It's all kept at a proper temperature so that it will stay fresh like that. Should the temperature, the electricity fail and the temperature go so high, the blood will be destroyed. That's it. But the scripture is speaking of indestructible blood there. And here's something that the scripture is bringing to us. We know, and he's speaking to these believers there. And it's a question you've got to ask yourself tonight. Do I know? Can I say this before God tonight? That I am redeemed. And what does that mean, you might say? I am redeemed. Well, it simply just means I have been bought with a price. That's what it is, bought with a price. And the picture is of the slave market that there used to be. There, and probably in some places of the world, to a degree, it's still there tonight. But people were taken. Stories are there, and stories are from missionaries in Africa seeing these men and women being chained together and marched through the country from their place there to be sold on the other side of the world in that situation. They are in slavery and they are sold in slavery. Now you might say, but I'm not in slavery. I'm born free. That's not what the Bible would say to us about ourselves. We are in slavery tonight. We are bound by sin. Sin has a grip of us. And each one of us have that in us. We are born in sin, says the Bible, shaping in iniquity. And that sin is there. We cannot get rid of that sin ourselves. We are enslaved to sin. We are enslaved. We can't do anything. No man can redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for his soul, we've said. We can't break ourselves free from the slavery of sin. There's no, we've no power to do that. We may try to do it. We may do what we can. We can. It's our nature. We've got a sinful nature. And that sinful nature will take us down to a lost eternity forever. But oh, here's the wonderful truth of the Word of God there. That we have been bought out of this slavery of sin. A price has been paid for us there. And that price is not silver and gold. Although great that may be and great the value that silver and gold has in the world, it can never save us from our sin. But here is something that is precious in the sight of God, and that is the death and the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the sacrifice that he made upon the cross of Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless Son of God, upon the cross of Calvary, bore in his body our sins upon the tree. God looked down upon him. Well, God didn't, because he was in the darkness. And in that darkness, God was not there. And God made to meet upon him in these 3 hours of darkness the iniquity of us all. He was made accountable for our sin. And I think of the greatness of that sacrifice that he made. He was like a lamb without blemish, our word said. Taking a picture from the Bible when they offered up sacrifices, animal sacrifices for their sin. And they would take a spotless lamb and sacrifice that lamb to cover up their sin. But here is the spotless Lamb of God, the one who was introduced as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the one that took away that sin and is able to cleanse us from that sin by dying for us upon the cross. And here he is, the wonderful Lamb of God, the Son of God, who gave himself for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ made himself accountable, and God made him accountable for our sin, it says. But how do I view that? Have I ever come to the point where I have said that is true? I'm a sinner before God. I don't have the capacity to forgive that sin, to cleanse myself of that sin. That sin is there. That sin will bring me down to eternal separation from God. But God has said, I've provided a way whereby my sin can be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ, his pure, spotless Lamb, his Son, gave himself upon that cross. And God looks down upon that cross and says, I made him accountable for the sin of men and women the world over in every generation. And because of what he did and what he accomplished when he died there, I can forgive men and women their sins. And that is the only way. There's a way back to God. And that is the only way. We can try our own ways, but our own way will lead to death and separation from God. But God's way is made plain here. And Christ has died for our sins there. And we need to accept that. We need to come to that point in our life's experience when we say, I am a sinner. I have sinned. That sin is separating me from God. I want my sin cleansed. I want it forgiven. I want it taken away. How can I do that? I look to the cross of Calvary. I look to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying for me, taking my place, my sin. And I believe it. I accept it. I accept it. When he died upon that cross, it was for me, as if there was not another person in the whole world. I need salvation. He died to make salvation for me. And he shed his precious blood upon that tree. He gave his life for me. He stood in and gave his life for me. Well, think of the wonderful thing of that. We think of what man did to him and how they did it to him and the terrible death that he died. But more than what man did, the terrible price that he paid, the tremendous price that he paid when he took our sins and bore it in our body on the tree. But have I accepted it? Have I taken Christ, taken God at his word? Taking the word of God here, it's there. Well, these people that we were reading about, they had accepted it. They had believed it. They were redeemed from their sin. And they were going on with God. Have I been redeemed? The price has been paid. It's there. The offer is there for us. We need to take the offer up. But you can only take the offer up if you put out your hand in faith. And say to God tonight, I believe you sent your Son to be my Savior. I believe he bore my sins in his body on that tree. I believe he rose again from the dead and is able to set me free from my sin and give me eternal life. You accept it and you take Christ as your Savior. It almost seems as if it's too simple. But it's not that thing. It's costly. It cost God everything. He brought the worlds into being by a word of his power. But when it came to the redemption of your soul and mine, he sent his Son to die upon that cross for me. And if I'm prepared to accept, I'm a sinner. But Christ died for my sin. I'll accept him as my Savior. My, the joy is this tonight, that you'll be saved. you'll be saved. It's the most wonderful thing to hear folks in a gathering like this just stand up and say, I believe. The last time we were out there in Zambia, not so long ago, we were preaching in a meeting like this. Well, there was a lot of young people there. The school children were there. And there was one young man, a big, tall young man he was, that was there. And at the end of the meeting, going through the meeting, he, on his feet, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I trust him as my Saviour. What a wonderful thing to hear. Passed from death to life by a word of there. Have you ever done it? That's a great thing. You need to do it. And you need to do it quickly. God only gives us today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So then, we've looked at and we've seen we are born of corruptible seed, but we have been redeemed with a corruptible seed. We've been born again of incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And having trusted Christ as our Saviour, the first reading that we had will be true in our experience. Says these verses in the first verse, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and that undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The moment I take Christ as my Saviour, the blessings that are there for me are immediately mine. A wonderful thing. Being born again to an inheritance incorruptible. Now, we can't get that promise on earth. There may be inheritances waiting for us, but these inheritances may fade away. I remember we got a big rug as a part of an inheritance. But that rug can fade away. The colours can fade away. The material can fade away. It can disappear. But you know, this is something that will never rot or change or fade away. What a wonderful thing that God is offering to us here. An inheritance in heaven for you. You, if you trust Christ as your Saviour, who have been kept and will be kept by the power of God to receive that inheritance for your own. It's a wonderful thing what God has done for us. And here we are, sitting here in Lower Bethel tonight. We're sitting listening to the Word of God. And by a simple act of transaction, by belief and faith in what Jesus Christ has done, we can enter into the greatest inheritance that we can ever imagine. It is ours to look forward to it. And I look forward to that tonight. Should anything overtake us, should death come in, we are going to into our inheritance. Now, usually when a person dies, someone else gets the inheritance. But here's this wonderful thing. Should I die, I'm going into an inheritance that is incorruptible and will never fade away and will never defile, and it'll be there for eternity, eternal. Because I'm going to be with the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me as he is my Saviour. Oh, dear friend, is he your Saviour? That's a great question we've got to ask. Is Christ my Saviour? Has there come that moment when I've consciously accepted him, confessing that I am a sinner and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin and I've taken him to be my Saviour? Well, the moment I do that, the Word of God is clear there. I have a living hope. A living hope. Not only living, he says it's lively. It's one that is abounding with hope. Great to have that. It's not just a hope so. We may say that. What you're going to do tomorrow, I hope I am going to do that. But here's something that is burning within the breast of every person who has taken Christ as their Saviour. It's a living, lively hope that is there, that should anything happen to me in life or in death, I'm going into an inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to be eternal, and it's in heaven, and it's reserved. My name's on it. What a wonderful promise to have. No greater promise, no greater thing can happen to men and women on this earth, and it's there for us to accept by faith. Dear friend, we need just to ask ourselves the question, have I come to that point in my life's experience when I've taken Christ as my Saviour? Well, the offer is there tonight. These people that Peter was writing to, they had done it. They had done it, and that because of their faith, I know they were scattered, but they were looking to the future, and Christ was all. Have you done it? You can do it tonight. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Accept Him. Accept what He did for you upon the cross. And when He died for me. Believe it. Take Him as your Saviour, and you will be eternally saved. May God just bless that message to us, and shall we just close in prayer. So may Your word be to us tonight, Father. May Your blessing be upon us. And we would just ask, Father, if we have not up till this moment placed our faith in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, may we just do it now. May Your blessing then rest with us. And bless us as we go further, and as we have the cup of tea together, Father, we just give thanks for it. And may Your blessing rest upon it as we give thanks in our Saviour's name.